Delicious Rita. Knowing you're near, so good to see you. Hope that it's fair.
Everyone loves you.
Well, come, let us sing for joy. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Hey, happy Thursday, this final day, dun, 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 of August 2017. How are ya? It is Joey Kroll hanging out with you, fellowshipping here with you on this Thursday. Yeah, welcome to Mark and Friends today. Tomorrow begins the month of September, I think. We just need to slow down just a little bit. That's all I got to say. I mean, really, it seems like I say this every week, how fast time is going, but it seems like the summer has just flown by. What did I do this summer? Just didn't feel like I was all that productive since it just flew by. So, goodness, goodness. Hey, so good to fellowship with you today. It is Joey Kroll, always a pleasure. Hang out with you each and every Thursday. Hey, coming up a week from tonight, Penn Station in Arthur will be hosting a special drug and alcohol awareness meeting a week from today, September 7th at 7 p.m. Maybe this is somebody you know. Maybe it's you who may be struggling with the drug or alcohol use. This is probably one meeting you don't want to miss, or you can come and inform yourself if somebody you know in your family or somebody at work is struggling with drug and alcohol addiction. You can come and hear how you can help them become free. And the basis of this meeting, listen to this, I love this, is Psalm 40, verse 2. This is their foundation of the meeting. It says, "He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings." I love that. Special drug and alcohol awareness meeting a week from today, September 7th at 7 p.m. at the Penn Station in Arthur. For more details, you can call Eddie at 217-508-7665. 217-508-7665. Again, 217-508-7665, where you can take a peek at our website. We have information written up about it at our event calendar page at greatnewsradio.org. Well, taking place yet again today, it's the Great News Radio English Conversation Classes going on from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And we do them in six-week increments. And the last one will be coming up a week from today, the 7th. And then we'll pick back up in November. So if you're interested in attending or teaching, just give us a call at 217-367-7777, 217-367-7777. And they all take place at the Great News Radio Center at Lincoln Square in Urbana, right across from the food court. Hey, don't go too far. Today we're going to be talking about our role in the church, how we need to get out of the stands and get into the game. We're going to take a look at the book of Ephesians right after this, right here on listener-supported Great News Radio.
There is joy in the Lord. There is love in His Spirit. There is joy. And honor are His.
And there is joy in the Lord.
We're going to be talking about being connected in the church. What is our role in the church? In fact, church members need one another in order to grow in Christ. In fact, I am a fan of the Chicago Blackhawks. Love the Blackhawks. Anybody Blackhawks fans? Maybe like 2-3 people listening right now? I don't know. But I'm a big fan of the Chicago Blackhawks. Now, notice I said I'm not a member of the Chicago Blackhawks. There's a difference because I don't go to their practice. I don't work out with the team. I mean, believe me, I don't do any working out, but I don't study the game films or discuss plays with the coaches. On game day, I don't get on the rink, on the ice, and help the team move the puck across the goal line. That's not my job. I'm a fan. I'm a spectator. I buy my ticket and cheer for my team or just watch them on TV. That's my job. But you know what, friend? Thankfully, church membership is not like hockey. There should be no spectators in the body of Christ. See, the body of Christ wasn't designed to operate as an organization where supporters come and give their money and then watch the hired players do all of the work. Friend, we're all participants. Amen? Everyone has a role to play. Everyone is needed. That's how the body of Christ grows and fulfills its mission. Actually, today, the question is not, do I have a role in the church? The question is, what is my role in the church? If you have your Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to look at a couple of different verses in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. It says, "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every aspect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. For him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each does its part." That's from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. Now, Jesus supplies that we just read here, the church with people he has gifted in various ways to fill all the roles needed for the church's mission. The roles are mentioned in Ephesians 4:11. Now, it doesn't make up an exhaustive list of leadership positions within the church, but they're important. Apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, and let me take it a step further. People who clean the church, people who prepare for potlucks, people who prepare for funerals, people who do the paperwork, people who do assisting, people who teach, people who do every aspect of the church. And see, church leaders are not gifted to do all of the work of the ministry themselves. You know, it's so funny. I've worshiped with people who had the idea or the mentality of, well, we pay the pastor, so it's his responsibility. See, there is no amount of money that you can pay a pastor to do what God has called you to do. So church leaders are not gifted to do all the work of the ministry themselves. They are gifted so that they can train the saints, that's you and me, other believers, to do the work of ministry. See, every member has a function in the body of Christ. Either you're doing the work of the ministry, or you're equipping others to do the work of ministry in some form or fashion. Those are the only two options that we see here in Ephesians chapter 4. Now, obviously, when somebody brand new comes to Christ, there's going to be an element of growing. You can't expect them to step up and do every single thing in church when they got saved on Sunday, and Monday morning they're knocking at the church door and serving in every single role. There's obviously an area of growing there. The word translated training in verse 12 kind of carries the idea of restoring something to its original condition or making something complete. This kind of training, equipping, or perfecting is needed to prepare believers for service in doing God's work. See, Paul understood his role as an equipper of other believers. In fact, in Colossians 1:28, he says, "He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ." Paul delegated tasks, enlisted people to pray for him, and relied on the help of co-laborers in the ministry. In other words, Paul understood his role as a servant of Christ. He understood that every member has a role to play in the body of Christ. Ephesians 4:13 says, "Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ." Remember when you were a child? Remember when you were growing up and couldn't wait to grow up? Remember those days when you were a kid and you couldn't wait to grow up? Maybe you longed for the day you officially became a teenager, or you dreamed of your 16th birthday and that prized driver's license is right there in your wallet or in your purse. Maybe you realized 18 was the age when society would finally recognize you as an adult. Or maybe you yearned to be 22, finished with college and on your way to the real world. You know what, friend? We should also strive for spiritual maturity. Did you hear that today? We should also strive for spiritual maturity as believers in the body of Christ. See, God provides his children with various gifts so we can help one another grow. Anybody married here today? I'll tell you what, my wife has skill sets that even me out. Maybe that's probably the best way to put it. And I got skills or abilities in my toolbox, so to speak, that God has given me to help her grow. Was it Sam Proverbs? "As iron sharpens iron, let one man sharpen another." See, Ephesians 4:13, we see that Paul said God's goal in providing his church with workers, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, is to build up the church so that we all reach unity in faith and knowledge of Jesus and become mature. So how do we assess our spiritual growth? How do we measure maturity? Well, the answer comes in verse 13, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. See, friend, the life of Christ is our target. It was Paul's consuming goal to know Christ more, to know the power of his resurrection, and to share in the fellowship of his suffering. Therefore, we measure our spiritual maturity by gauging our actions and attitudes in comparison with the actions and attitudes of Christ. So how do you know you're growing and you're spiritually maturing? You're starting to look like Jesus more. You're starting to act and think like Christ. Jesus lived to please God, He put others above himself. He patiently endured suffering. He loved the unlovable, forgave the undeserving. That's our goal for spiritual growth and maturity. I know it ain't easy, but thankfully we don't have to work towards that goal on our own. See, God equips his people, as we've been talking about this entire study. He equips his people with gifts that enable them to help one another grow to be like his son. Praise the Lord. Ephesians 4:14-16 says, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth, in love, or can't forget that part, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. You know, having a poor foundation in the truth of Scripture makes you vulnerable to all kinds of false teachings that can lead you away from God. See, this is another reason we need one another within the church, friend. Paul constantly battled false teachers who infiltrated churches and led people astray. His remedy, identified in these verses here, was to ensure churches were built up with mature believers grounded in the truth. See, that's why when you call a pastor, that's why when you call maybe a deacon or an elder, they got to be spiritually mature. They got to know the Word of God. Because if they're going to be making decisions for the church, they have to know what the Word of God says. See, knowing the truth is key to discerning falsehood. And Paul contrasted the lies and deceitfulness of false teachers with the importance of believers speaking the truth in love. It means that you're being honest with people about the realities such as sin and how God views our rebellion against him. You're being honest about it, but you communicate that message with humility and patience. But that doesn't mean we compromise the teachings of Scripture. So friend, you have a responsibility, you and me, both of us, a responsibility to equip others for ministry or engage in ministry yourself. Choose to be a participator, not a spectator. Get equipped. See, with the power of the Holy Spirit as your guide, seek out somebody older and maybe wiser in the Lord and ask them to pour into your life as a spiritual mentor, as Paul did with Timothy. So what's your role in the church? See, answering that question is key to getting on the fields, to getting in the ice rink and helping your team, the body of Christ, strive for growth and spiritual victory in this world today.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can be suffered. I need thee, oh, I need thee every hour. I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to I'm Bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. To thee.
Now, it's a young man by the name of Jaden Lavick, and his twist on a favorite hymn, And I Need Thee. Boy, I pray that is the desire and cry of your heart today, where your entire being says, Jesus, I need you. In fact, Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branch. Apart from me, you can't do anything. So as we continue on with our Thursday and the rest of this week, just remember that we need Jesus. We really, really do. Hey, appreciate your fellowship today. This was fun. I always appreciate our days together. You can always drop me a note. My email address here at the radio ministry is joey@greatnewsradio.org. J-O-E-Y at greatnewsradio.org. You can always write to us here at Great News Radio. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 550, Fisher, Illinois, 61843. Again, that's Great News Radio, Post Office Box 550. Fisher, Illinois, 61843. Well, Mark Burns and Mr. Jason Schiffo will be in that seat over there. Well, not in the same seat together, but one in that seat and one in the other. So that's how that works out. That's coming up tomorrow for the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. Until next time, though, friend, just remember that you are salt and you are light, and you are the hands and feet of Jesus. Friend, I pray that you have a wonderful rest of your Thursday.